Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy.
As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious days of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, so that the things that are said and done here, Father, are not mine, but they're yours. Now we're asking you, Father, to be with each one of us throughout this evening, and open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word. Now, Father, share with us the truth and the depth of this word of yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I am. To share with you a little bit what I told you, but I'm sure. In fact, I told you to both. About my insurance plan?
Yeah.
2 hours he stayed with me on my front porch.
Time flies.
Talking about the scripture and the church. Because his dad is a deacon in where he goes to church. And he's not from around here. And he told me, he said, I'd be finding out about you. I told him, I said, well, you can call in and do it. I ain't hard to find out about. But anyway, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. It's not a long chapter, but there's quite a bit in it. And a lot of things that, you know, mankind has forgotten about today. And they wonder why that our country here in the U.S. is in the shape it's in. But they just stop and think for a little bit, they might be able to see and understand why we're in the shape we're in, why God took his hand off of this nation. Now, God's still got his hand out. And all those that belong to him. But we have so much misteaching today that 96% of those that call themselves Christian today are not. They're lost. because they are living contrary to the word of Almighty God. I've preached on most of those things that are contrary about a lot of times. But you know, we always need to bring things up from the past so that we don't forget them. This nation right now has killed over 60 million babies. Think about that. 60 million murders right there. And they're still doing it right now with over 300,000 per year. Right now, homosexuality is running rampant. They've got no shame of it at all. And you know, that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It really wasn't their sin. Was he? He was upset with their sin. But the real reason he destroyed it is they had grown to the point they had no shame of their sin. That's exactly where we are today. I want you to stop and think. We got churches, just about all of our denomination churches today are accepting homosexual sin to teach. We got homosexual preachers standing up here where I'm at, trying to tell people how to live. God don't work with them like that. So he's teaching a false belief. Because God's not going to work with that man. Then they accepted women preachers in. You probably got one or two come to your district. Yet God told them no. That's one reason I get talked about. I don't believe in women pastors. Well, it's not me, it's the good Lord. 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2 chapter tells you that. And 1 Corinthians 14th chapter even gets a lot stronger than Timothy gets, because he tells them that for a woman to speak in the church is a shame. So how's she going to be able to stand up and teach? But Timothy, he told her, he said, I didn't call a woman to teach nor use authority over man. Then they want to teach you can't live your life without sin. That's not what God tells you. He tells you, unless you're born again, you can't get into heaven. And what's he tell you about being born again? 1 John 3rd chapter tells you, be born again. You have to be born of water and of spirit. And it also tells you that when you are born again, you cannot sin because his seed remains in you, and you cannot sin. But it's time after time after time in here, it tells you to walk sinless just as he walked. You see, we have the same power living within us when we are a child of God that Jesus had. But we don't see it today, do we? Because mankind will not use it. They don't even want to really hear about it. That's why you find so few here in church. They don't want to hear the truth. Now, if I get up here and tell stories and make up a bunch of things, wouldn't be long. We'd have to have a bigger place. Look out right now, we've got. It's got 2,000 and 3,000 membership per service. But they're teaching everything that's contrary to the word of God. They don't want to hear this word. Not the truth of it. take it, wiggle it around, take from it, add to it, make it say what they want it to say, tickle their ears. They fill up building after building. We got one preacher here in this country right now that just in buildings alone, he can stop over $200 million. And he's right now got plans for 200 million more. And he's got them full. But he's teaching contrary to the Word of God. He's got a Bible college. He's making ministers, preachers, pastors out of women. That's just not God's way. We have to walk according to this word if we're going to make heaven our home. And I know it gets boring. Now let's get bored with it. But it's what we have to have. So beginning here with verse 1, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is adultery, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, into which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father of him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there is no respect of persons. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this, his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to give you and I the message this evening that God would have each of us to receive. And once again, I ask that he will open our hearts and minds to be receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now we back up here with this first verse. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, we know that Christ was raised. Any born-again child of God knows that. It's hard to get mankind today because a lot of them don't believe it. And they think they don't need him. And they actually believe they don't need the church. We got one that just left the church. And I was told because I asked why. And I was told because they don't need the church. They know God and they can stay at home and just pray. No, it won't be long until that one will walk away from Almighty God. And that's what's heartbreaking. That's what's heartbreaking about my work. I see those that are lost, and it makes the heart cry. Most of you will never know the tears I shed right now over my friends and my family that are not living right, that believe they are all right. They're all right in their mind, but they're not all right in God's mind. And that first verse is telling us that Christ died, but he is also alive, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And you see, that's the reason we are told even in the scripture how to pray. Most mankind don't even know actually how to pray. They just go and say, well, now, Jesus do this, and Jesus do that, and Jesus do this. It's not going to get you very far. You pray to the Father. Scripture tells you, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Because you see, Jesus is living in us. Jesus himself told us that he is in the Father, and the Father is in him. And they are in us, and we are in them. And the scripture says, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And if you know I hear you from heaven, then you know I will give you your wishes. You find that in God's word. But they'll pray to the saints. They pray to angels. They pray to the mother of Jesus. They pray to Mary. No, it's not going to get you a thing. We are to walk according to the ways of God. And just as that one verse has told you and I, he was writing this to the Colossian church. And not only do the Colossian believers have been freed from their sin, but so have you if you are a born-again child of God and you have a new life. The moment you begin a child of God, you have new life. You're not to look at the things of this world anymore and put them first. And there's not anything wrong with having things of this world if you use them right and in the right way. And for the right purpose, and that's for his purpose. That's like saying, you're an employer. Well, you are.
You're right on me.
Now, if I work for him, I'm supposed to work for him as if I was working for Jesus. That's the kind of job I'm to do for him. But he is also, in return, to deal with me as a child of the living God and show me the love and respect that I do as a child of God. There's many, many things hidden here in this Word of God, and that's why we have to have the Holy Spirit. That's when Jesus was talking there in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he told him, he says, no man can enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. Well, he ain't the only one. There's a lot of people that couldn't understand it. But just so you'll know, I'm not telling you nothing that ain't the Word of God. I'm going to turn back over here and we're going to read it. Here in the third chapter of John, we'll begin here with the second verse. Well, let's just start with the first one. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, he's talking to Nicodemus now, verily, verily, when you see scripture that begins, a verse begins with verily, verily, pay attention. That's why it says verily, verily. Pay attention. This is important. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There ain't no mites, no maybes there. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's covering two things right there that most of our churches today are misrepresenting. It says you must be born of water and of the Spirit. We've got many out there telling you that baptism is not important. It's just symbolic. No. It's something you have to have, something you need. Because that's the way you put on his death and his resurrection, which is the way you put Jesus on. And that's his word. You know, that's God's word, not mine. Just a minute. I lost something. I'll get it here in just a minute. There we go. Now, but it goes on here now. He says you've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. This flesh will never go to heaven. It's going to go back to dirt. That's why it's buried. But this spirit that lives inside, which is you, that's the person, that spirit, that soul that's in this body. This body is just a house. And if you're a child of God, God calls it a temple. But that's what it is. It's going to go back to dirt. But that spirit's going to go back and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, because he will be our judge. Jesus has been already appointed and anointed as your judge. When you stand before him, unless you have accomplished what we're reading right here, you're going to hear him say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you." But if you're right with him, and you have done what you're supposed to do, and you're living by and in his word, you're hearing him say, "Good, well done, thy faithful servant, enter into thy rest." We have a choice. You see, he gave you and I a choice. There's only two choices, though. There ain't no four or five choices out here for us to live. We're either going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're going to be living for Satan. Oh, no, now, I'm a good person. You may be a good person, but you still ain't made heaven your home. You're still following Satan. And he's going to tempt you, and he's going to walk in and tempt you with everything he can tempt you with. Because, see, he knows your weakness. Sometimes we forget even what our weaknesses are. But he don't. He knows them. That's the way he's going to come at you. Now, he goes on here in verse 6. He says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He was talking about his death there. He's already told us, we've seen it in his word, where man's got to be born again. And he said we have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Well, we're born through the water by baptism. The sixth chapter of Romans tells us all about what baptism does for you. I shared this with the church here a while back. I'll share it with you all again, because I don't know whether any of you was here at the time, or don't remember whether it was a morning or evening service. Now, you know, we talk about not only being born again, but how to get things done, and what do they mean? Your baptism, what has it done for you? What did it do for you? Can you even remember? Or can you even remember how you were baptized? Yes, there's a whole chapter on it. You want to follow me? Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How'd you get dead to sin? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Likeness of him. This is just one place it's telling you that you are to walk as he walked. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's what happens to you when you're baptized. Most, when they're taken and baptized, they're never told what's happening or what's taking place. So nothing happens. Then they baptize you according to John's baptism, which they get from Matthew. They baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, which once again, all they've done is took you in the water of dry sin and brought you out of water, because they haven't baptized you right. Acts 2:38, from the day of Pentecost, and that's when the church age began, when the Holy Spirit came back to mankind to dwell with each one of us. That's where our power, that's where our knowledge, that's where our wisdom all comes from. Comes from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That's why he was sent back to us. And to give us the understanding of his word. Now, from that time on, in Acts chapter 2, he tells you what you need to do with yourself in order to make heaven your home. He's telling you how to accomplish that. And let's go over here real quick. Lord, let me way off from where I was at. All right. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, well, let's go to 35. Because Peter just getting through preaching one of the greatest messages ever recorded in the Bible. Now, when he was finished, he told me, he says, for David is not ascended into the heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Verse 35, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. That was the finish of his service. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we need to do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent. That word repent, not only do you go and confess your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also means you turn away from them. You don't do them no more. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's told you right there everything you need in order to be born again. But yet, we got him out here telling mankind, you can't live without sin in your life. Everybody got sin, everybody's sins, and you just got to, because you can't live without it. Well, that's not so, and that's not in the scripture, really. No words. We've all sinned, that's true. We're born in sin, and we commit sin until we truly and sincerely give our lives to Christ, and we come to the point where we are born again. Now, here's what happens with born again in 1 John 3rd chapter. Let's start here with, because I want you to see several things here with this. We're going to start with verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him, every man, woman or child that wants to make heaven their home, every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. He's not pulling no punches, is he? He's telling us straight and like it is. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. We know he done that. Whosoever is born of God, we told we have to be reborn and born of God. Okay. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's what it has taken for each and every man, woman, and child to enter into the kingdom of Almighty God. And it's the only way that we can get there. And he led us there from that one first little verse of Colossians. You see, here in the last couple of weeks, he showed me something else. I had never really ever thought about it. To get a better understanding of his word, when you sit down at home to read it and to study it, of course you want the Holy Spirit with you too. But he'll get with you. But read it out loud. While you are reading out loud, the Holy Spirit will be giving you a revelation of each and every word that you read. A couple of weeks back, the Lord led me to that, and I thought, oh, surely this man telling me that can't be right now for me to read out loud. But the Spirit stayed with me and stayed on me. Well, I'm going to give it a try because I'm going to be reading anyway. So if I'm going to read, I might as well try it and read out loud and see. So I did. And all the time I was sitting there reading, the Spirit was opening it up to me. You ever try to, Dennis?
Only
works, don't it? Just to read it out loud will give you so much better insight of what it is actually saying. All right, now, here in verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. He's telling us as his children, don't set our main priorities and things on the things of this earth. He knows that we need to live as we make this journey here on earth. But that's why he said, I'll supply your needs. And he knows more even than you and I do what all it will take and put us through in order for us to be a child of God. And he knows how to give us what we need. Now, he's not against you having wealth. Because you see, when you become that child of God, you are to share him with all you come in contact with. And Dan's got a good, he's got a place to where he can share God's word every day.
I'm a true walking testament of your very words, amen. I'm going to throw myself at the mercy of this text. Thanks.
No. So we are to use what he gives us to further the things of the kingdom of God and to bring in more fruit or more of the lost souls to him. That's all of our jobs. That's not just your pastor's job. I'm here to guide a group, yes, and to share with other children of God and to lead them into a deeper and greater depth than what they have had. And we are to come together to share with each other and to be a support one for the other. And there's not a night goes by that I don't pray for every one of you. Every time I go to prayer, I pray for every one of you. You're all in my prayers. That's what the church is about. Because it also tells you, he says, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. There's four of us here, because we got more over here on the line. But right here, he's right here. I know he's here because I brought him. But when there's three or two or three.
The Lord is within his four walls, we speak. I just want you to know that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Now, he don't live in this building.
No.
So we bring him in here. And we ought to be doing his work. And that's why I told you, you're going to be seeing things here in this church that you haven't even imagined yet and seen. It's coming. I can tell you that. The things he's been really shaking me up with in the last couple of weeks, and I don't think it's going to be really all that long. Because we don't have long, and we need to be getting as many ready as we can, especially those of our family and our friends. I was talking to one today, and he says, oh, yeah, we got plenty of time. No, we ain't. But that's why mankind don't want to hear the truth, because he wants to think, well, I've got years and years and years. Well, maybe he has, but we don't know. He may not have tomorrow before God comes for him just on his own. But he's coming for his church, and that's not as far off as what mankind is thinking. Everything he told you and I to watch for is taking place right now. Some of it has been going on for a long time. And he tells us in his word, he said, when you see these things begin, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And some of these things have been going on for many, many years. Let us know. If he's coming for his church, and when he comes for his church, there'll be no more salvation. There'll be no more Gentile people saved. The only ones that'll be saved once Christ takes his church out of the world will be Jews. And those are already chosen. There'll be 144,000. We're told that. It's wrote here in the scripture. It's back in Revelation. There'll be 144,000 saved during Revelation, that 7-year period of Revelation. But it's 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. There's 12 tribes of Jews. There'll be 12,000 from each tribe. That's 144,000. Because you see, the Gentile age is gone. Our age of us even knowing anything about God started with the church age when the Holy Spirit was sent back to be with mankind. That's when our time began. Even before that, the Gentile people didn't know anything about God. Only his chosen people were given the laws and things that way. Most of the Gentile people were idol worshipers. They had all kinds of gods. Sun gods, fertility gods, love gods, all kinds of them that God wasn't pleased with. And that's why the Lord came, was to make a way for all of mankind. Because God loves us all. It don't matter what color your skin is. It don't matter what country you come from. God loves you. But he also gave you a choice, and you can choose on whether you want to go to heaven or go to hell. And the way you live is what will make the decision of where you're going. Now, here 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, I was dead and buried with Christ. I was resurrected with him. And now my life is hid in him. I am to walk as he walked. I am to teach as he taught. I am to live as he lived. And so are you. It's not just for you, preacher. That's for everyone. That's why we put him on. And the Holy Spirit was sent back to dwell within you to give you the power to do whatever God will call upon you to do. Now, God talked to you in several ways. He talks to us through his word. He'll talk to you in dreams. He'll talk to you by visions. And he'll talk to your heart that's almost audible. You know, and you will hear and understand everything he speaks to your heart. Oh, now, Pastor, you're wrong. No, that and those things like dreams and vision, that all died in the apostle's time. No, it just got started there. They're the ones that started the church. They're the ones that put it into this book we call the Holy Bible. They put it on them Dead Sea Scrolls that this all came from, because they lived it. And when you go in this Bible and you start reading, you won't find where God called not one good man. Not one good did he call. Peter denied him three times one night. Paul, the Apostle Paul that wrote most of the New Testament, was a murderer. They all denied him when he was taken prisoner. Every one of them denied him, hid from him, and the people that knew him. But yet, he loved them. And when the church age began, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, their life changed, just like yours and mine was supposed to do. That's why God has been taking care of me 55 years now. Sent home to die, sent home from the hospital to die within 2 days. 2 days is all the doctors give me to live. And in less than 2 hours, put in bed where I couldn't even turn over by myself, I had to have somebody turn me. 2 hours later, I was sitting in the living room talking to my mother and dad, because my wife and my brother couldn't find no heartbeat or no pulse, and my body was cold. I done stood before the Lord God. I done heard my Savior intercede for me. I was put back into a body that was completely healed. The next morning, from the day I was sent home, I was on a ladder paying the doctor's house to send me home to die. I know the power of Almighty God. I know it works. And I know it works today. We had healing done right here. Got a witness sitting there to that effect, because it was his wife. Another lady that would come here, made it to the back row, had to have help to make it that far, coming in. Spirit spoke to her and told her, says, lady, you'll not leave here with that sickness. 5 minutes later, she had gotten up, was up front. It was already gone. And you know it. It was Millie Johnson. We've got to stay in God's word and bring this word into our life and begin to live it. And God will take care of everything else we need. And when he gives us prosperity, we are to use it for his glory. As long as you do that, he'll keep pouring out to you until it overflows to where you don't even have room for it. Think about it. You got a business. You put in first. You do what you're supposed to do, and you watch what he'll pour out on you. He'll give you things you ain't never dreamed. I'm going to give you an example, one that we all have seen and can relate to. I just happen to be a little older, so I'm closer to his side. All this road equipment you see, all this heavy-duty road equipment, the man that started that, started building road equipment. He built the first piece in his garage, his home garage. But he made God a promise. I'm going to give you your tithes. He kept that promise. God doubled his income. He told the Lord, he said, you know, I'm going to take 40%, I'm going to give you 60%. He did. That man, when he passed away, didn't even know what he was worth. And look what we've got out here from it today. Because he went from that 60% to where he kept 10% and gave 90% of it to God. The Lord keeps his promise. Mankind won't or don't for the most part, but God keeps his promise. And he tells you, you do what you're supposed to do, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough for you to contain. Took me a long time, Lord. Even with preaching and following God, doing everything God told me to do, I still was not, and he hadn't even convicted me of it. That was the thing. I didn't have the understanding about paying God what was his. I knew I was supposed to tithe, but I'd do it my way. I'd work, say this week, my tithes would come to $50. Well, let's see, what bill, what can I do here, what can I do there? I'd pay all my bills, and then if I had $50 left, I'd give it to her. It didn't work. His part comes first. He says the first fruits. He tells you in here, the first fruits. You give to him, then you'll have enough for the rest of it. And that's what took me so long. I stayed in debt all those years, head over heels in debt, until I started paying my tithes as I was supposed to. And when I did, I got out of debt. The only thing I owe this debt, light bill, a phone bill, just my monthly bills that I billed every month for, that way. Everything else is paid for. And I've got a little money in the bank. I'm not a rich man, but right now I've got what I need, because he told me he'd take care of me. And he does. And how many of you, have you seen me worried about anything here in the last several months? Except just for my wife being where she's at. And I know he's working with her now. But I'm really not even that much concerned now about that situation. And yet, my expenses has went way beyond my income. Right now, my income comes to less than $2,000 a month. Mine and hers put together. My monthly expenses right now is over $10,000 a month. That nursing home down there, I just got through paying that bill, was $9,263.59. The bills on the house, phone bill, light bill, things that way, runs right at $800, which has put me over the $10,000 mark for this month. That's been going on ever since she's been in there. And I know God will make the way. And he will for each and every one. Everyone that will walk with him, he will care for. And that's what he tells us. Now, here verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we, ye, also appear with him in glory. Those that go, that he comes and gets, when he calls the church out of this life, and those that have gone off that's with him, when he comes back to set up his kingdom here on this earth, we'll be coming with him. We'll live again here on this earth. 1,000 years, right here. And then the heavens and the earth are going to pass away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We don't know what that'll be like, because he sure don't tell us. He just tells us there'll be a new one. But we'll be with him, so it don't matter. Now, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. He's telling you that word mortify means to put it to death. You put these members to death. He goes on to tell us what these members do. And that's what we're supposed to put to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. And man, that's something else that's running today. Way out of the proportion. Our young people today, boy meets a girl, they like each other. After a few months, let's just move in together. They do. They move in. And they want the whole world to know it. They tell everybody. They're not ashamed of it.
That was the first lesson I learned when I married.
And that's fornication. That's what fornication is. The unmarried. When you go out on your wife, that's adultery. But in the meantime, when you get out here, you're with these different ones and you're going with another lady outside of marriage, that's fornication. Uncleanliness. Inordinate affections. Evil concupiscence. Concupiscence. And covetousness, which is adultery. He comes on now in 6, he says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Those that live with those things in their life, has got the wrath of God against them. That's why we see so much going on today, so much sickness and all this going on around us is because our nation turned its back and walked away from God. They took the Lord Jesus out of every place he was in. They started with their schools. They took him away from our children to begin with. Then they took him out of all public places. Not even supposed to use his name in prayer. And they fixed it so our military chaplains were not allowed to use his name in prayer. They can't pray in Jesus' name. Then we wonder why, in the shape we're in. With this next verse, we're going to close. He goes on to say, in the which ye also walked sometimes when you lived in them. We all have walked with that kind of sin in our lives. I did. I was not right with God. I liked a whole lot being right. In fact, back when I was in my 20s, you wouldn't have wanted to know me. I'm being honest. You wouldn't have wanted to know me at all. I'd have just soon to fall with you as to shook your hand. I wouldn't even have to be mad at you to do it. And if I whipped you, I bought you a beer. If you ripped me, I'd still buy you a beer. I had got to a point in my lifetime that I was averaging 30 cans of beer a day and staying cold sore. You wouldn't have known I had drank anything. That's the way I was. And yet, God loved me enough. When the doctor sent me home to die, he says, no, I'm going to use him. And from the day he healed me, put me back into a well body, that day, I made him a promise. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll say what you want me to say. 2 weeks later, I was 1,200 miles away from home, holding a revival in a church that a man had called me to come to that I knew nothing about. God's got a sense of humor. I preached. I was supposed to be there a week. I couldn't get it closed out in a week because God was working there. The Holy Spirit was at work. I was 30 days. I had to call my wife at home, get her to send me money because I didn't spend all mine. Because I was staying in the place. And my last service, my message was on women in the church. I had 9 preachers sitting on the platform behind me. One old preacher that day and time sitting right beside me. I got closed out and he looked at me and he said, "But Tony, do you have the best pastor in this church?" I said, "No, they're not even a deacon." "Well, how did you get in?" I can't hear it, just always open. I started that service with 2 people. So all I had the first 2 nights was 2 people. The third night I had 3 because they brought a young girl. The Holy Spirit worked with that young girl. The next night, when I opened the door, they were standing room only. They was lined up even around the wall. Because the Spirit was working. It took me 30 days to get it closed out. I preached that message that night. He told me, he said, "Come on, I'm going to introduce you to the pastor." When I asked for pastors in the congregation, pastor of the church didn't even get up and come up on the platform with me. Stayed up in the congregation. Unrecognized. He took me out and introduced me to one of the cutest little colored gals you ever seen. She was pastor of the church. She looked up at me and she said, "You know, I didn't know that." I just looked at her and I thought, I said, "Well, you know it now." I got home 2 weeks later. I got a letter from her. She said, "Brother Tony, I'm no longer pastor of the church. She said, my associate pastor was my fiance. He is now pastor of the church. She had stepped down. All right. We're going to stop there with that seventh verse. We get too far, didn't we? But we're already on overtime. And I don't like holding you overtime too often. But I'm not going to quench the spirit either. I'm just wondering how many stay with me if they left me. Like the service I preached down here, Church of the Wildwood, right outside of McDaniels. They've been preaching too long then. I went to visit because I've been invited. I'll share this with you and we'll have a closing prayer. I'd been invited by a young man who went there to the church. I was running the service station there home. It's still there today. It used to be Dance Hall. I was the Dance Hall company at the time. I wasn't even a preacher at that time. But I was doing a lot of study. Well, he kept inviting me. Because he traded with me. And I got thinking, well, if I don't go, he ain't never going to quit building me. And I come in one Wednesday night. And it had been snow that evening. We had about 2.5 inches on the ground at that time. I thought, I'll go on back to church. And he told me how to get there. But when I got back there, back of McDaniels on that road, there's a rock for it back there. And it goes straight up that mountain. That road goes. Took 3 times to me get up that mountain. And I made it. Right on top, there's a gravel road that turns and goes back down across the ridge. The church is out there. It's got its right name, Church of the Walk. I get down to the church. Not a car, no way. But they lights on in the church, huh? Well, I'm down. Yeah. We're going to see what's going on. Got to the door, opened it up. Church was full. All the people that had walked. Because all the farmers started playing around. They all walked to our church. Got getting close time for services to start. Young man invited me. Talking to another man sitting back in the corner. That guy come up front, stood up front, and he told me, he said, you know, our pastor's only got one eye. One of the weather's bad. He can't drive to get here because he lives in Indiana. He said, but we're going to have prayer and we'll sing a couple of hymns. We'll go home. This young man had been inviting. He jumped up and he said, oh, we got a preacher here tonight. So maybe we can get him to preach. Well, I'm looking around to see who looks like a preacher. I ain't seen no one. So finally it dawned on me, he talked about me. I thought, no, well, I ain't no preacher. But they said, we'd read scripture. I can do that. So, I told him, I said, well, I'm not really a preacher. But your man here said, we'd read scripture. I can do that, so I'll read scripture for you. I got up, come up, got behind the podium, dropped my Bible down like this. It was hard back, and it opened up. It fell open to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, hardest chapter of the Bible, preach. I started with it. The last thing I remember
I had started reading the third verse. Now, I don't remember nothing else. So I was standing at the back door, shaking hands with them to say he was leaving. He was all going on about what a good message is there at that time. I had preached 2 hours and 45 minutes. How'd you like sitting there?
And not a one of them. That young man told me. He said, you know, I can't believe that. He said, not one offered to leave. He offered to leave. But I ain't helped no more like that. 2 hours and 45 minutes. How'd you like to sit through that? Now, I've held these over, I think the longest, what, been 20 minutes?
You know, if you caught me on a normal day or something, so I'd say, you'd be giving me a run for my money. But a day like today, I can be set for this day all night long.
Well, they didn't, you know. They, not one of them offered to leave. And we get back, we'll have a closer prayer. So I just, they'll share that with me. I did, preached 2 hours and 45 minutes. I did it spiritually, but I didn't know nothing about it. I had no idea what was said or nothing else. I mean, when the Spirit took over, he took over. That's why I depend on him. That's why you don't see me at notes. I don't sit down and take 2 or 3 days to make these messages up. They're going to come to you out of the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, because you ain't going to get nothing. All right, we're going to go ahead and close. Hit you, Herbie. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your Word, Father, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your Word with each other and to be a support one to the other, to show our love, Heavenly Father, for each other, for this church, and for this nation in which we live. And Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, we're asking the Holy Spirit to see to their needs, to keep them in health, to see them financially, and to keep them safe. Because, Father, we have them that walk in dangerous places to where if they're caught, it will mean death, imprisonment, and death. Now, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings, and their Lord. Now, Father, for this land of ours that's turned its back and walked so far away, no excuse whatsoever. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to remove from office those in our government that is standing against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with those, Father, that will stand with the church, with Jesus, put him back into all the places he's been taken out of, and work with us, Father, to put our government back upon the foundation that it was founded in, that being your Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. For our prayer list, Father, as each name is called, we ask the Holy Spirit to see to their needs, whether it be physical, spiritual, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the Brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, for Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastors Randy Johnson, Luke Besk, of the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. And Father, for this young pastor, Pastor Will, just went into the ministry. My prayer for him, Father, is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, and that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, make them lighthouses. But even more than that, Father, make them a place of refuge to where those that are walking in darkness can go and the Holy Spirit work with them so that they come out of darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For my young pastors overseas, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, all there in Pakistan, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Branson family, for the Lee family, Father, my wife's family and mine, Father, work with these families. Turn each one around that's walking in darkness. Help them to find the light, and that light being Jesus, so that none are lost and all can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombillo, and her mother. For Sue, for David, for Palance, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them mightily, Father. Bring about the healing that is needed within each one to bring glory, praise, and honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name, Father, we pray. Amen. All right, remember now, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, Sunday night at 6. Be back with us. God willing, we can all be together again and back into his word. Good night now, and God bless. Thank you.